Thank you, Brother Ming-Fei. Good to see each one of you here tonight. Appreciate you being here for our midweek service. And we're glad this evening to have some special guests with us. Glad to have... Where did they go? Brother Herman. Oh, okay. They were sitting over there before, and I couldn't find you. Okay, good to have Brother Herman and his wife Annie are here. They're missionaries to Bangladesh, and you have been there, right? And they're here for the leadership meeting the middle of the month, and so we're certainly glad to have them and visiting in our service. Be sure and get to know them afterwards, and certainly good to have them and the rest of you here as well. Well, a couple of weeks ago, of course, last week, we took a break from our study because of the Chinese New Year and all of the dinners and things that were going on. And so we kind of took a break last week. But tonight we want to continue where we left off 2 weeks ago and dealing with the deliverance of two men who were demon-possessed. Two men who were from the country of the Gadarenes, and you remember we noted that this miracle is one that is found in each of the synoptic gospels. It's found in Matthew chapter 8. It's also found in the Gospel of Mark and chapter 5, and then of course in the Gospel of Luke. And chapter 8. So each of the synoptic gospels gives us a record of the deliverance of these two men there in the country of the Gadarenes. And we begin by noticing last time, and just by way of review there for you, number one, we begin by noticing the demoniacs. The demoniacs. And you remember we saw several things about them. First of all, we saw their number. You remember there were two of them. There were two of them. We also saw their condition. They had been possessed with devils, and you remember the Bible said they had been in that condition for a long time. And so we saw the condition. Letter C, we saw their behavior. Their behavior. And because of the fact that Satan was controlling them, they were controlled by these demonic spirits. We saw some things going on. We saw the condition or their behavior, first of all, concerning their dress. You remember they were naked. Their dress. And then we saw their behavior concerning their dwelling. They dwelt in the tombs. They dwelt in places of death and corruption. That was their dwelling. We saw their discontent. Their discontent. They were constantly crying out. You remember the Bible says that there is no rest for the wicked. The prophet Isaiah said, as the sea is constantly churning, that's exactly the way an unsaved man is. No rest for the wicked. And so there was discontent. We saw their domination. Not only could these men not control themselves, they could not be controlled by others. You remember there were times when they would be chained and they would be fettered, and yet they would break free of all of that. And then you remember we also saw number five, their disfiguring. Their disfiguring. They were men who would cut themselves with stones, and they were disfiguring the body that God had given to them. And so we saw their disfiguring, and then we saw their disruption. Number six, they hindered the ways of others. These were some fierce men, and when people would travel by, if these men made an appearance, people would turn away, and they would go a different direction. They would disrupt things. And then you remember we saw letter D, we saw their hypocrisy, even though they were tormenting these men whom they had possessed, talking about these demons, even though these demons were tormenting these two men whom they had possessed, yet they did not want to be tormented themselves. They did not want to be sent to hell. And so their hypocrisy, and then we saw their conversation. You remember there were two things that we mentioned there. First of all, the identification. You remember the demon identified himself as Legion. He identified himself as Legion, and the reason, you remember, was because he was a high-ranking demon over many lower-ranked demons. And so that explained then for us the request made. And the request was simply that they not be sent out of that country. That they not be sent out of that country. We noted that even though Satan is the god of this world, and that's what Paul calls him. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 4. He's the god of this world, but he is not omnipresent. He is not omnipresent. He's not capable of being everywhere at the same time the way God is. So we saw how that Satan rules this world through an army of demons, and just like every other army, there's ranks that are there. And so in this country of the Gadarenes, there was this demon, Legion, apparently, who was in control of that country. That was his country. That was the place where Satan had placed him. And he did not want to be forced to leave the place where he had been put. And so his request was, don't send us out of the country. Don't send us out of the country. So instead of being sent to hell, the demons requested that they might go into a herd of pigs who were feeding nearby. And so it's from that point now we're going to continue the story. And I want us to notice a couple of things. Let's continue by noticing, first of all, number two, the change. The change. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 31 and verse 32, the Bible says, the devils besought him, saying, if thou cast us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine. And he said unto them, go. He said unto them, go. Now, what these men had been unable to do for themselves, they had been unable to deliver themselves. They had been unable to free themselves from the hold that these demonic spirits held over them. What these men were unable to do for themselves, and what other people had miserably failed to do for them, the Lord Jesus Christ accomplished with a single word. Go. That's pretty awesome, isn't it? Go. Go. You remember, this is the same one of whom the Bible says in Hebrews 11:3 that the worlds were framed, how? By the word of God. The worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. In other words, he didn't take something in existence and make that to become the world. He started with nothing and simply spoke, and there it was. He spoke the world into existence. And when that powerful voice spoke on this particular day, those demons had no choice but to obey. They had no choice but to obey the command that was given. And so they departed from those two men. They entered into the herd of pigs. And as a result, there was a great change that took place. And the change is seen on two sides. It's seen on two sides. First of all, notice the change in the pigs. Notice the change in the pigs. Mark chapter 5, verse number 13. The Bible says, the unclean spirits went out, entered into the swine, and the herd ran, rejoicing and skipping for the wonderful freedom that they enjoyed in their rebellion against the will of God. No. Truth of the matter is, those demons had the same impact on those pigs that they had on the men. Remember I said the men, when the demons controlled them, they were trying to destroy themselves. They were cutting themselves with stones. Now you see those same demons as they go into a herd of pigs. And what do? Self-destruct. Self-destruct. That's what Satan always wants to do. He always wants to destroy those whom God loves. And so the Bible says that this herd of pigs, as soon as the demons entered into them, they ran violently. Well, there's a load of meaning in that. They ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. Now, again, we see exactly what my dad used to speak of when he talked about the insanity of sin. The insanity of sin. These pigs, under the control of these demons, they began to act erratically. They began to act uncontrollably. They ran down a steep place and literally committed swinicide. Can I say that? Or piggycide, if you want to call it. Whatever. But they destroyed themselves. Destroyed themselves in the sea. The Bible says here in Mark chapter 5, verse 13, they were choked in the sea. Choked. The Bible says in Matthew 8, 32, that they perished in the waters. In other words, those pigs, when they were filled with the demonic spirits, were changed from docile farm animals. Changed from docile farm animals to a rampaging beast bent on self-destruction. That's what the devil will do for you. He promises you great joy and great peace and promises you all kinds of happiness and fulfillment if you just ignore God and follow Him. But let me tell you something, folks. Here's what it always ends up like. There is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. Something we can learn from these three little pigs. Not only do we see a change in the pigs, notice the change in the men. The change in the men. You know, the Bible tells us, and we mention this verse quite often, don't we? 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a what? He's a new creature, right? All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And certainly we see the reality of that in this text that we're dealing with tonight. After the Lord Jesus had delivered these men from the multitude of demons that had enslaved them, there was a huge, huge change that took place in their life. There was a huge change that took place in their life. And this great change is seen in four areas that we can identify from the text. First of all, the change is seen, number one, in their resting. In their resting. Again, quoting Isaiah. Isaiah 57, verse 20 and verse 21, it says, "The wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked." That certainly described what we saw last time. Mark 5, 5, always, night and day, talking about these demon-possessed men. Always, night and day, they were in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting themselves with stones. But after they met the Lord Jesus Christ, and after He had done this mighty work in their life, the Bible says in Luke chapter 8, verse 35, that the man out of whom the devils were departed was sitting. Not running around wild and all of that. No, he's sitting. Just sitting. Certainly that agrees, does it not, with what Jesus said? Matthew 11, 28. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you," what is it? "Rest." Come unto me. I'll give you rest. Here's a man who had no rest, constantly, day and night, going back and forth, crying out, no rest, no peace. And yet now, after meeting Christ, everything has changed. And now he's sitting at the feet of the Lord Jesus. Not only do we see him resting, we also see the change that took place in their learning. In their learning, before their deliverance, these men wanted nothing to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. But now notice again, Luke 8:35, they are sitting at the feet of Jesus. In other words, not only are they resting, they have now taken the place of a disciple. They are now sitting at the feet of Christ like a disciple. Nothing, bottom line, nothing changes a man's attitude quicker than a good dose of salvation. These men are now learning. Not only do we see it in their resting and in their learning, we also see the change that took place in their clothing. In their clothing. Remember last time when the demons were controlling these men? Luke 8:27, the Bible says they wore no clothes. They wore no clothes. In other words, they're running around naked like a couple of savages. And yet now, after meeting the Lord Jesus Christ, Luke 8:35, not only are they sitting at the feet of Jesus, they're resting, sitting at the feet of Jesus, but the Bible also says, now they're clothed. Now they're clothed. This is something that many missionaries dealing with primitive peoples have seen happen all the time. I've heard testimonies of missionaries going out into areas like where Brother E is there in Papua, where they go out into those mountain areas and some of those villages out in those areas where the people are very primitive, and how that when they get saved, all of a sudden there's a noticeable change. People start putting on clothes. Start putting on clothes. Seen in their clothing. Number four, great change also seen in their thinking. In their thinking. The Bible says in Romans chapter 1 and verse 28, the Apostle Paul said this. He said, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. In other words, people don't want to think about God. They don't want to think about the claims of God. They don't want to retain God in their knowledge. And so because of that, the Bible says, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. In other words, when Satan controls our thinking, we will always find ourselves thinking and acting in ways that are totally irrational. Makes no sense. Makes no sense. We find ourselves in that crowd of people like those that Isaiah the prophet spoke of. In Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20, those people who call evil good, and they call good evil. Boy, aren't we living in that day and age? We're told today that everything that is wicked and perverted and vile and sinful, according to the Word of God, we're told, oh, that's good. You ought to accept it. You ought to embrace that. We call evil good. And then they turn around and, oh, you believe the Bible? Well, that's wicked, right? That's the mind that we have in the world today. And that's exactly what Isaiah the prophet was talking about. And yet these people, irrational, bent on self-destruction, controlled with the demons of hell, cutting themselves with stones, and yet now they're sitting at the feet of Jesus, they're clothed, and notice it, they are, Luke 8:35, in his right mind. In his right mind. Very same thing the Apostle Paul said. In 2 Timothy 1:7, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love. Notice the last one. And of a sound mind. sound mind. Number three, I want you to notice the response. The response, first of all, there was fear. There was fear. In Luke chapter 8, verse 34, the Bible says, when they that fed them saw what was done, they fled and went and told it in the city and in the country. Now, there's some simple logic here. There's some simple logic. Those who were feeding this herd of swine, those who were caring for them, those who were watching over them were responsible for them. They were responsible for them. In other words, those animals equaled money. They equaled money. And if anything happened to those animals, and remember there's 2,000 of them, right? If anything happened to those animals, it would come out of their pocket. It's the same thing that Jacob told Laban. Remember back in Genesis 31, verse 39, Jacob said, that which was torn of beast, I brought it not to you. I bear the loss of it. It was my responsibility. I was entrusted with your livestock. If it gets lost, if it's torn, I bear the loss. I bear the loss. And so to cover themselves, when this herd of pigs killed themselves in the sea, these men wanted to make it perfectly clear that the loss of the herd was not their fault. It was not their fault. It was not due to their negligence. They were afraid. But not only that, letter B, there was curiosity. Curiosity. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 33 and verse 34, the Bible says that they went their ways into the city, told everything. That is, they told everything that had happened to the pigs, but that was not all. And they also told what had befallen to those possessed, to the possessed of the devils. And behold, since everybody knew about those two maniacs out there who scared people to death, since everybody knew about that, the Bible says that the whole city came out to meet Jesus. The whole city, out of curiosity, they want to come and see what's going on. They want to come and see what has happened. And so there was, first of all, there was fear, and then there was curiosity, and then letter C, there was rejection. There was rejection. In Luke chapter 8, for example, verse 37, the Bible says, then the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about besought him to depart from them, for they were taken with great fear. In other words, they're filled with dread. They're filled with dread. But why were they afraid? Why were they afraid? Remember, those demonic spirits had not drowned the pigs. They were still in the country. And they were doing their work of influence in the minds of those people. Even though the pigs had killed themselves, the spirits didn't die. They're still in the country. And now, instead of causing pigs to commit suicide, those demons are now working in the minds of men, convincing them that they ought to reject Jesus Christ. They're still at work. They're still at work. Interesting point that we need to remember here. Satan does not have to possess people in order to influence people. You get that? Satan does not have to possess people in order to influence people. They used a favorite tactic, these demons did. They stirred up fear. fear of the unknown, fear of something that can't be explained. And so these people, because of the fear, the demons have convinced them that they should not trust any power that could so disrupt their finances. They should not trust any power that could so change their lives. And so when they came to Jesus, they said, we'd like you to leave. We don't want you in our country. We don't want you here. And the sad thing is that many people, without even realizing it, just like these people in our text, make the decision that they would rather have the demons of hell than the Lord of glory in their life. That's a sad thing, isn't it? It's a sad thing. That brings us to the next point, letter D. There was a departure. There was a departure. Being the perfect gentleman. And the Lord Jesus was certainly that, a perfect gentleman. And being the perfect gentleman, the Lord Jesus never forces himself on anyone who chooses to reject him. He's not going to arm wrestle you and get you in a headlock and scrub your head until you say, okay, I repent. No, he's not going to do that. He's a perfect gentleman. You tell him to leave you alone. Those are serious words. Those are serious words. Remember Revelation chapter 3, verse number 20? Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. He knocks at the door of our hearts. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Right? It doesn't say, behold, I stand at the door and kick it in if you don't open. No, he doesn't do that. He doesn't do that. He's a perfect gentleman. You open the door, invite him, he'll come in. But if you don't open the door, if you say, go away, leave me alone, I don't have anything, then he's a perfect gentleman. These people came and they said, we want you to leave our country. And the Bible says, Luke chapter 8, verse 37, that he went up into the ship and returned back again. He left. He did exactly what they asked. He left. Number four, notice the desire. The desire. Two times, in Mark chapter 5, verse 18, and Luke chapter 8, verse 38, we're told that the man whose life had been changed by the power of God desired to go with Jesus. He desired to go with Jesus. As Jesus is getting into the boat, he's getting ready to leave, as the people have requested him to do. This man who has been delivered from the powers of hell and from these demonic spirits expresses his strong desire to be with the Savior. But the Lord had a different plan for this man's life. The Lord had a different plan. And so I want you to notice two things. First of all, notice his command. His command. In Luke chapter 8, verse 38 and 39, the Bible says, but Jesus sent him away saying, here's the man who said, Lord, I want to be with you. You've changed my life and everything is now for the better. And Lord, I want to be with you. I want to follow you. Wherever you go, I want to go with you. And Jesus sent him away. He said, no. He sent him away saying, return to thine own house and show how great things God hath done unto thee. In other words, the Lord said, I want you to be a witness for me in your own home. I don't want you following me all over Galilee and all over the places where I'm going to be traveling. I don't want you to do that. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to go to your own home. And I want you to tell what great things God has done for you. Now, that was the command. Now, I want you to notice letter B, the obedience. Luke chapter 8, verse 39, the Bible says that he went his way and published throughout the whole city. Published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. One commentator, I think, said it very well when he said the devil may have gotten Jesus out of the area, but he could not get the message of Christ out of the area. The message was still there. Now, humanly speaking, it would be wonderful. It would be wonderful if as soon as we trusted Christ as our Savior, it would be wonderful if he just took us home to heaven. Don't you think so? I mean, don't you think it would have been wonderful when you prayed and said, "Dear Lord, I'm a sinner. Please come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin. Save me." Wouldn't it have been a wonderful thing if you opened your eyes and you were in heaven? Hello? Oh, okay. Thank you, Hannah. All right, yeah, that would be a wonderful thing. That would be a wonderful thing. But the Lord didn't do that, did he? The Lord didn't do that. Because you know why? If the Lord took us to heaven as soon as we put our faith and trust in him, we would never know the joy of serving him. We would never know the joy of telling others about him. Never would have that privilege. And so just as we find in our text, God has not saved us to sit back and to do nothing. Rather, he's called us, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he's called us to be witnesses unto him. Not just here at home, but around the world. Around the world. And so may God help each one of us to be just as diligent as these two pitiful cases that we've seen in this study. May God help us to be just as diligent as they, to spread in every place and to every person the great things that God has done for us. Now, if God hasn't done anything for you, then you don't really have anything to talk about. But if he has done something for you, if he has saved you, and if he has changed your life, then you ought to let other people know. May God help us to do that. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this evening for your word. And Lord, thank you for the great change that you made in the lives of these men. And Lord, thank you that you're still in the business of changing lives even today. And Lord, I pray that you would help each one of us to, as Brother Mingfei mentioned earlier, to make sure that we've truly been born again ourselves. And then, Lord, if we have, I pray that you would help us that we might be faithful in sharing all that you've done for us with others. And, Lord, may others come to know our Savior as a result of our testimony of how you have worked in our lives. Lord, we pray now that you would bless our time of prayer together. And Father, we pray that you would be honored and glorified in all that we say and do through the rest of this evening. We ask in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake, amen.